Trudy Mason sitting in for Leslie Roberts, and we're going to tackle the question, I think, of the year. We're going to be talking about this for months and months, and we have been talking about it ever since, of course, the Weinstein affair, and that is, what constitutes sexual harassment in the workplace and elsewhere? What is the rule book? Can someone write down the rules and distribute them? You hear this a lot, particularly from men, that they don't understand what the rules are for what they can do, especially in the workplace anymore. Text us, 514-800. Give us a call, 514-790-0800, because we have a very accomplished expert on this topic on the line with us. Dr. Audrey Nelson has a PhD in communication. She specializes in gender communication. She's written the Gender Communication Handbook, Conquering Conversational Collisions Between Men and Women. And she also wrote an earlier book, Code Switching, How to Talk So Men Will Listen. I love that title. Dr. Nelson, thanks for joining us on CJ8800.
Sure. Thank you, Trudy.
So the question, I guess, that a lot of, in particular, men, but women too, want to know is there a guidebook for what constitutes sexual harassment in this hashtag MeToo era?
Absolutely. And I don't think there is a whole lot of gray area or fuzziness around this issue. Sexual harassment is considered an illegal form of discrimination. And remember, everybody, it can be male to female. Quick footnote, about 90% of the cases reported to the EEOC in the U.S. are cases filed by women against men. However, sexual harassment can be female to male. We have several precedent-setting cases of women harassing men. We have one right now of a California legislature, a woman who's actually high up in the ranks, harassing, making sexual advances toward her male employees.
Yeah, she's even been accused of groping.
Of everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Men and women can do it all. Yeah. And it also can be male to male, and it can also be female to female. So it crosses all gender lines. The second issue for me is what I entertain a lot in my seminars. Oh, my God, we can't have any fun anymore. What's wrong with the joke? What's wrong with the pat on the back? Well, nothing wrong with the joke as long as it's clean and does not create a sexually charged climate or environment at work. I have been involved as an expert witness in cases where the workplace is more like Animal House. It's like a fraternity house, people simulating the sex act around the water cooler. You know, is that really professional conduct? Is that productive for everybody in the workplace? More important, if I were the employer, is that the image I want to portray? So, and telling jokes, sure. Problem with jokes is 80% of jokes usually discriminate, vilify, make fun, ridicule a certain population. I'm a baby boomer. I grew up with jokes about gays. We used to have a category of jokes called Polack jokes. Jokes about how dumb the Polish are.
Yeah, I guess the Canadian equivalent would be Newfie jokes from back in the day.
Yeah. So, you know, and the issue is, oh, we can't have fun anymore. Well, if we have to have sexual advances in a sexually charged environment to have fun, maybe that's something you should pursue on your own time.
Yeah,
outside of work.
It does seem to me that the line is a lot less fuzzy than a lot of generally men are portraying it these days.
Right.
But I understand there is some nuance and interpretation here, because
absolutely.
In the Weinstein affair, we heard about this guy conducting meetings naked under a bathrobe, you know, lying in bed.
Yes, those are obvious.
On his underwear,
right.
You know, just holding a meeting in a hotel room, Yes. To begin with. You know, there's egregious stuff and then there's more nuanced stuff. But I really do think that it's not really all that nuanced.
No. However, you know, Trudy, I think you're smart to take a look at the nuance. I mean, not all of us are operating from the same rule book. In my training, I will say things like a sexual joke is often interpreted as harassment, and one of the great guidelines you can use is, would you say that to your mother?
Yeah, we have a texter who says, why don't we just treat everybody like they're someone's brother or sister? Would you want your brother or sister treated the way that you're treating
them? Exactly. However, I'll tell you this, Trudy, I've had people say, hey, my mother would love that joke. Evidence that we're not all operating on the same page. We don't operate from the same rules of respect, basic respect. So let's look at the nuanced behaviors. Oh, gosh, can I give a woman a hug? Well, some people prefer to reserve hugs to their best girlfriends and their boyfriend or husband. You know, touch is very potent. Well, I slapped her on the back, and she said that my hand stayed there a little too long. See, here's what you need to understand. There are many harassers, and they are in the news, who have learned how to operate just below the radar. So that slap on the back, good job, Trudy, is really more a rub and lasted a little too long. And women do have a right, as well as men, to say, you know, a lot of people hug in the office, not my thing. There's some people who don't like public hugs. Let me give you another guideline. If events happen in a group of people, that context is a little safer. So the context often defines the behavior and the meaning of the behavior. So the example you provided a moment ago, if a client invited me to their hotel room, I don't think so.
Yeah, well, you can meet in the lobby.
I'm not going there.
Every hotel has a coffee shop, right?
I don't go to the bar with my clients. I will go, have one glass of wine. Thank you so much. I go to receptions all the time. I give a keynote. They bring me. Sure, I'll go to reception. Yes, I'll join you in the bar for a glass of wine, and I'm gone within the hour.
And our guest is Dr. Audrey Nelson, PhD, expert in gender communications. We're talking about the new playbook for interaction in the workplace. We're talking, of course, in the context of hashtag MeToo, the conversations we're having about what constitutes sexual harassment. And Dr. Nelson, I wanted to get your reaction to this text from one of our listeners at 514-800. Telling a joke can get you fired today because there's always somebody that's offended. I have a feeling we're going to have a very stale workplace in the future. People need thicker skin. Your reply to that, Dr. Nelson.
Well, there are two issues there, and I think I already addressed the joke telling. So we know, for example, in the U.S., we studied comedy channels, stand-up comics, and again, roughly about 80% of their jokes vilify, denigrate, they're racist, they're sexist, they make fun of a group of people, of African Americans, of blonde jokes were popular for a while. So I believe we could still have a lot of fun in the workplace without putting somebody down and making them feel embarrassed and uncomfortable. And secondly, the whole thick skin to me is akin to a term that I really can't stand, the politically correct movement. You know what being politically correct means? It means being respectful, respectful of other people. And what you find funny may not be what other people find funny, particularly when it involves denigrating remarks, again, toward a specific person or group of people. Keeping religion out of it, keeping sex out of it, So I think we're all sophisticated and smart enough that we could figure out how to have fun without sexualizing the workplace.
I think there's so many things to talk about that have nothing to do with sex. That, you know, it's kind of bizarre that it seems to be the default for so many people. Let me ask you about going along to get along.
To get along,
because
right.
Because I think that
people don't understand that.
No, and yeah. I think that in some cases it opens up accusers to criticism.
Right.
From the
Absolutely.
People they're accusing, saying, listen, you didn't tell us at the time you're uncomfortable.
Yes.
I didn't know you were offended.
Right.
I didn't know you didn't like me giving you
right.
back massages every day.
Sure. So let me address that from 2 points. But let's go to point number one. Well, why didn't she say something at the time? Well, look at the horrible, now this is sexual assault, of the recent case in the U.S., the horrific case of over 200 women, young women, on the U.S. gymnastics Olympic team being assaulted by their personal Olympic physician. And people go, oh, my God, why did you wait 5, 10 years? You're embarrassed. You're humiliated. And you could say the same thing about harassment. You wish it would just go away. There often women get into, and men, wishful thinking, oh, golly, maybe they'll stop doing this. But they start getting stress-related illnesses. They pull into the company parking lot. They don't want to walk in the door because there's Sam, and he's going to give her that back massage that she desperately does not want. But guess what? Sam's her manager, or Sam is on her team, and she doesn't want to call him out because everybody loves Sam. So, you know, refusal to talk about the incident is motivated by several different issues.
I think there's, yeah. Just from my own observations too, people sometimes equate talking about sex and with pseudo-sophistication. They think that that's what sophisticated people do, is talk openly about sex and have you know, loaded conversations, and they're all touchy-feely. That's sophisticated,
right.
And I must be a prude because I don't like that, and it
right.
offends me, and I don't want to look like the prude
sure.
in my workplace, and
right.
so they're reluctant to speak up.
Right. And I don't know, Trudy, maybe the Canadians are different than the Americans. And, you know, I was born in Europe. I come from a French background. Certainly there are cultural layers to this as well. But I will say that behaviors that make someone feel uncomfortable, that begins, you know, sometimes women even start self-blame. Oh, God, what did I do to deserve this? My own daughter, when she was in her 20s, said, I'm going to start going to the club in sweats because when I dress in, you know, club clothing, you know, men start groping me. And so, you
now
know,
blame the victim. I will thank you very much, Dr. Audrey Nelson, for our discussion today. Audrey Nelson is a PhD, a trainer, workplace consultant, over 30 years of experience as an expert witness. She's an author as well and trains people to prevent sexual harassment. Thank you very much for your time, Dr.
Thank
Nelson.
Thank you, Trudy.